And this is startling. This man that was in Abilene the other day, that I know, and the man that's in Arkansas, that I know, that were big men with FEMA, have now left FEMA. This man says, whenever they sent the big man out here to Abilene and we were having a meeting, he said there's going to come a time when there's going to be martial law, and when anybody that does not act right, anybody that rebels, anybody that does anything that's not right, you are to take these people and put them in these concentration camps. And he said, I made a statement to the man. I said, but sir, these people live here. They own this land. It's theirs. They've worked hard for America. They bought it and paid for it. Some of them have even been in the U.S. military. And these people have rights. He said, if they do not do what you say for them to do, you just kill them. He's talking about killing U.S. citizens. Is that kind of slap in the face? Hey, I fought in Vietnam. Some of you men may have fought in other wars. I went to war to fight for this country. And now then, if they come here and say, we don't want you living here no more. This land's mine. It's paid for. I worked hard for it. I bought it. I paid for it. They say, we're going to lock you up. We're going to take you because you're a pastor. I'm either on the red or the blue list as a pastor. Every pastor in America is either on the red or the blue list. If you happen to be on the blue list, on the red list, the instructions we got from FEMA is that they take you to the camp, and the first thing they do with you is they kill you. Isn't that something? And then if you're on the blue list, they interrogate you and get the information they want from you, and then they kill you. But everybody on the red and blue list gets killed. Does this sound like America? Not the America we know, does it? So it's time the church starts doing something. And God is raising up a group of people. And He's showing us what's going to happen. And you're going to have to go through some awesome things in the near future. So, you need to go through those things well. You don't need to be sick. Because if you're sick, you're going to have a real problem. Let me tell you, you need to be well. And God's provided a way for you to be well. But He's provided something. He's provided some demands. And after I show you today some of the things I'm going to show you, I'm going to show you what He said. And I'm going to start off in Exodus 15, 26. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, this is a powerful verse for healing school. In Exodus 15, 26, and said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I, God, will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, who is it that's going to heal you? Who is it that's going to make you sick? A lot of people miss that answer. I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have put, the Lord, have brought upon the Egyptians. Now, who brought the diseases upon the Egyptians?
The Lord.
The Lord. Now, He may have used the destroyer or the devil to get it done, but God's in control. And don't ever think for a second, as we go through this word, if anything happening to you in your life, God's behind it. He's in control. If you're sick, He made you sick. If you're under a curse, He put you under a curse. But what caused it? You did. You were the one that made the wrong decisions. You were the reason that you're sick. Not anybody else, unless you're sick because of a curse. And then it could very well have been your parents, your grandparents, or several generations back down the line. Do you know that if there's anything that virtually every family in the world is under the curse of Deuteronomy 23:2? Now, Deuteronomy 23:2, I want to take you to this Deuteronomy 23:2, and I want you to see what it says here. A bastard Now, I made that statement to a young man one day. I was a manager over a large group of guys, and one of them was having all kinds of trouble, and he came into my office and wanted a day off. And I told him, well, son, I really can't let you off on that day because there's too many other guys off on that day. I said, what's the problem? He said, well, I got to take my sons to a doctor. I said, how many sons you got? He said, two. And I said, both of them having a problem? Yes, both of them having a problem. I said, well, why don't you let your wife do it? He said, I'm not married. Well, I said, well, how long have you been divorced? He said, I ain't never been married. I said, you got two sons and you ain't never been married? I said, so you got two bastards. He didn't like that. Now, who called him a bastard? What did God call him? He said, if you got a child that was born out of wedlock, and boy, today, that's common. Even in a church, that's common. That should never be. And you might be one. If you are, there's hope. Praise God. But you got to learn the answer. If you don't learn the answer, you're under a curse from God. He says, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation. You and your children for 10 generations are cursed if somebody was born out of wedlock. Now, you show me a family today that hadn't had somebody born out of wedlock in 10 generations, and I'll show you there ain't no such thing. Every one of us fall under that curse somewhere. I don't even know my grandparents back 10 generations. Do you? No. But some of you may think, hey, I done this. I've got a son, or I got a daughter, or I had sex with some woman that I wasn't married to, and she got pregnant. And you know, some men have had sex with women that they didn't know they were out of town, and the woman got pregnant. You got a son or a daughter somewhere, and you don't even know who they are. I had a man that did that years ago when he was lost, and then he got saved. And he quit running around in the world. And this one woman he was sleeping with, living with, he kind of thought, right at the end, just before he got saved, he kind of thought, maybe she might be pregnant. And she told him she wasn't. But she lied. And he got saved, and when he did, he knew he had to quit his lifestyle, and so he left. And he never saw her again. A few years later, he met a lovely Christian woman. Now, he's a Christian, on fire for Jesus, and they get married. They have some beautiful children. And their children are way on up there. You know, 14, 15, 16, whatever. And all of a sudden, the mother, the woman, gets a phone call one day. And it's another girl. A woman. And she wanted to come see her daddy. And she just had a baby out of wedlock. And she wanted to bring the baby to see her real daddy, which she had never seen in her life, but she had found out who he was. And this woman was devastated. My husband was sleeping around with another woman and had a baby, and I didn't even know it. And she was heartbroken. I had to minister. That woman drove up here and sat down with me, and I had to minister to that woman. I told her what he did. She said, Thurman, I was a virgin when he married me. I said, I know, you were raised up in a Christian home. You done what was right. But I said, he lived in the world, honey. I mean, he lived in the world. I said, he did everything wrong. But I said, the thing you've got to remember, when you married him, he had now become a born-again Christian. And he was not living in that lifestyle. I said, now, when you married him, when he got saved, Jesus washed him and cleaned him from all that past. But did that do away with the girl? No. And what's the first thing happened to her when she got big enough? She went out and had sex out of wedlock, just like her daddy did. The curse passed right down to her. And now she's got a child out of wedlock. I told her, I said, you know, the best thing you can do is let that girl come to see her daddy, and you be a living example of Christ, because she needs to know Jesus. I said, that baby that she's got needs to know Jesus. I said, if you turn your back on her, she's going to be out there in the world, and her and that baby are going to be lost, and they're going to die and go to hell. I said, that's not what God sent us here to do. But can you understand how it broke her heart? Sure. You know, if you had married a man or a woman and you thought they had never been with another human being in their life, and 10 or 20 years later you found out that this man or this woman that you married had slept around with two or three guys or had a girl or had a baby out of wedlock, you wouldn't be happy about it either. But that's just the way life is. But he says right here, a bastard or a child born out of wedlock shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. So there's a lot of people that go to church that really can't enter into the congregation of the Lord because they have never learned how to break that curse. They're under a curse. They're under a curse. Now then, Exodus 23, 25, and 26. Exodus 23, 25, and 26. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I, God, will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Now then, if we serve the Lord, if we keep his commandments, we would go back to that Exodus 15, 26 a while ago that we read, the very first one. If we study his word, get into his word, read his word, and obey his commandments and all his statutes, how much sickness did God say he would put upon us?
None.
Now then, what does that mean? If you disobey, what's going to happen to you? He's going to put it upon you. And he's the one going to do it. He will speak that curse over you, and it will make you sick. Now, the reason I can teach these things so profoundly is because about 25 years ago, somewhere in that neighborhood, many years ago, I had been a Southern Baptist Christian since I was 11. I accepted Jesus in a little Southern Baptist church in Cross Plains, Texas, when my mother and dad lived out there. And I didn't have a clue what I had in Christ. But when you became a Christian, you didn't either. You just knew you got saved. And some of us never go through our whole life and never learn what we have in Christ because we spend too much time in the world and not enough in the Word. But the Lord says, stay in His Word. So when we get in His Word and study His Word, we learn these things. And as I began to study and learn many years ago, after about 10 years of dedicated study in God's Word, I'm talking about sometimes 2 or 3 hours a day, maybe more, 5, 10, 15 hours every week for 10 years, as I studied and meditated on this book, I began to get great revelation from God. And then one day I finally got enough revelation from Him that when I learned the word sozo, I learned that word means saved, healed, made whole, delivered, and preserved. When I learned that and I found out that word sozo was used 120 times in the Greek New Testament, that one word.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with the teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.